From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Fear Has Its Place. The text is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and the foundation of all true religion. Without a solemn awe and reverence of God, there is no foothold for the more brilliant virtues. He whose soul does not worship will never live in holiness. He is happy who feels a jealous fear of doing wrong. Holy fear looks not only before it leaps, but even before it moves. It is afraid of error, afraid of neglecting duty, afraid of committing sin. It fears ill company, loose talk, and questionable policy. This does not make a man wretched, but it brings him happiness. The watchful sentinel is happier than the soldier who sleeps at his post. He who foreseeth evil and escapes it is happier than he who walks carelessly on and is destroyed. Fear of God is a quiet grace which leads a man along a choice road, of which it is written, No lion shall be there, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. Fear of the very appearance of evil is a purifying principle, which enables a man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep his garments unspotted from the world. In both senses, he that feareth alway is made happy. Solomon had tried both worldliness and holy fear. In the one he found vanity, in the other happiness. Let us not repeat his trial, but abide by his verdict. In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Nothing to Boast About. The text is chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where Dr. Cairns is focusing on the main purpose of Romans, which is to answer a question posed in the book of Job long ago: how shall a man be just with God? Paul had no sooner answered the question than various people began raising objections. The Jews insisted that their heritage from Abraham and their observance of the law of Moses assured them of entrance into heaven. Paul refutes their claim by showing that the gospel which he is preaching is the gospel revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. This emphasizes the truth that Old Testament saints were saved in the same way as New Testament believers, by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Nothing to Boast About.
God never played such rotten, cruel games with the souls of men as to come to people who were dead already in their sins, totally depraved, totally corrupt, totally incapable of spiritual good, and then say to them, here is a way of salvation, and it's the way of perfect obedience. You keep it, and you're saved. Now, he could say that, but not as an offer of mercy. He could say that as a way of emphasizing their sin. It's true. If you have a perfect righteousness, God will honor that perfect righteousness. But where are you going to get it? Not by keeping the law. Not by doing the best you can. Not by, and this has been resurrected in our day, not by resurrecting the old Jewish fable that God was going to take all your good works and put them on one side of the balance, and put all your bad works and all the others, put them on the other side of the balance, and according to which outweighs the other, you'll be saved or lost. Man, if that were the case, we would all be in bad shape, would we not? For I wonder where the good works are that are going to go on that side. No. There's only one way of salvation, by grace, received through faith. And the object of faith, more clearly seen at some times than others, but the object of faith given by prophecy or by type, by illustration or, in New Testament terms, in full light, is always Jesus Christ. His righteousness, His redemption. There's none other. That's why he's appealing now to the law and the prophets. And in doing this, of course, he's emphasizing the authority of the scriptures as they're written. The Old Testament in particular. You'll notice that Paul has absolutely no time for this garbage that has got in among even so-called Bible believers. Well, that's the Old Testament, you know. I'm a New Testament believer. Well, if you're not an Old Testament believer, you're not a New Testament believer either. Paul did not so denigrate the Old Testament. I'll make this statement, that any doctrine that is not scriptural is false doctrine, and it has no claim upon our conscience. I'll go further. The New Testament may throw fuller light, and it does throw fuller light on the doctrines of the Word of God. But it does not invent anything that is unknown or contrary to the teaching of the Old Testament. Oh, here in the New we have the full unfolding. But in the Old you have the same truth. And that's why Paul says, note the present tense, verse 3, what saith the Scripture? Not what said the Scripture. In other words, the Scripture is still speaking. Its voice is still the voice of divine authority. It has vital power. What is it saying? I want you to notice this. This is a pet peeve of mine. I'd better be very careful I don't get off on a tangent. For believe it or not, I have deliberately prepared to preach briefly tonight, in case my throat wouldn't hold out. Seems to be doing okay so far, so I'll maybe make hay while I'm getting some funny looks from my wife. What's new? And it's not funny, ha-ha, it's funny, peculiar. What saith the Scripture? not what does this mean to me? You know, all around the place nowadays you have what things that pass as Bible studies. And they turn the Bible into a book of myth and fable and almost into a tool of the occult. What do I mean? People gather around, they read, well, what is this? What is this saying to you? And they start dredging out of their insides what it's saying to them. Now, I've said this before, and I don't want to sound crude, and I don't want to sound unfeeling, but you know, I don't really care 2 cents what it says to you. And you ought not to care 2 cents what I think it says to me. You see what that's doing? That's taking the reader, the interpreter, and making his feeling the controller of the meaning of Scripture. The question is, what does it say? That's the question. What saith the Scripture? Now, Paul could ask that question for the very good reason that Paul could also answer that question. The tragedy, of course, nowadays is that we have so many of us, and we know everything, at least we think we do, know lots of things that are not worth knowing, but when it gets down to what does the Scripture actually say? We're living in an age of greater education, for the most part, higher literacy rates than have ever been known in human history. We have more tools of learning. We have more helps available. And yet, I dare say, in the Christian church, we have never seen such a level of ignorance of what the Bible says. Why is that? No easy answer. I have to confess, when I go back and read in Puritan literature, and I have to back off and tell myself, the people sitting in the pew didn't necessarily understand all that. At least I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. I mean, I'm reading John Owen, and I like John Owen. John Owen's writing has been described as having all the majesty of an elephant, plodding. I think of him as an elephant in a china shop. But I'll tell you, he's worth reading. Now stop and think. John Owen actually preached this stuff. I remember when I introduced a volume of John Owen into the theological course in Northern Ireland, the cry went up, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. Well, the fact is, I had to study it, so there's no reason why they shouldn't have to study it too. I have to say, however, I don't think the Puritan preachers just kept preaching to four walls and blank stares. You had people without 100th part of the educational opportunities and advances or advantages that we have today, and they were able to sit and take in great biblical truth. But of course, you don't have to just think of the Puritans. I invite you to do something. Read 1 Peter. Now, those of you who have been in this church a long time and have old Bibles will confess what our sister Betty Walsh told me. She says, every time I opened my Bible, it fell open to 1 Peter. And that's because for 3 years, I How many were there, Charlie?
83.
83 messages I preached on 1 Peter. And maybe as, not quite as many, but almost as many in 2 Peter. But anyway, in 1 Peter. But I invite you to read 1 Peter. Do you remember how it starts? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've already got further in theology than most people who have ever done their MDiv. But to whom was he writing this? Chapter 2, to newborn babes in Christ. They were only saved. And they were already getting into what we would count deep doctrine. In other words, in those days when people got saved, they really took seriously learning what the Bible says. What does it say? Most churches, I could not preach many of the messages that I've preached in this pulpit. Most of them I couldn't do. I'm very much aware that when I look back at what we have done in the book of Romans, not that it's anything deep or brilliant, but I have to confess, in most pulpits I could not dare to preach it, because I'm asking people to think, to follow a logical course of thought, to follow an argument through, to see what the Bible is really saying. And people want to be entertained when they come to church. They want to go out feeling good because they've heard a nice story, or because the music program has been so superlatively wonderful. And I'm not going to do that. I can't, for a start. I've never really learned the art of the storyteller. I wish I had. But anyway, I have a deep conviction that the only emotion that high feeling of well-being that is going to last, the only thrill that is really of God, is that which is a response of the soul to great spiritual truth. I believe in emotion and religion, but I believe in an emotion that's dredged from the depths of our being by the revelation of the truth of God. What saith the Scripture? And I'll tell you this, when Paul got that question out and gave the answer, he was saying, that's an end of the matter. When the Bible speaks, it's time for us to shut up and listen. I'm not here to argue with the Scripture. I'm not here to seek to trim the Scripture. It is not my job to have a fight with what the Bible says, or think that I can go beyond the Scripture. When the Bible speaks, that is an end of the matter. That's it. What saith the Scripture? And that's what he starts answering in Romans chapter 4.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.